We're starting a new teaching series for the new year this week, and we've called it Doing Life Together. And after we chose the title, I realised that it sounds a little bit like we're all going to prison and we're doing life together. And that's not what the series is about at all. It's actually about community, about being a community of people who do life together. And the big idea behind it is this. Church isn't a club for people who happen to believe the same stuff. It's not like, I believe in Jesus, do you believe in Jesus? Great, cool, here's a building where we can sing songs together and then I'll see you in a week's time. That's going to church. And the Bible never once talks about going to church. It talks about being church. Being a God-centered community of people who commit to walking out their faith together. Just like we did in our covenant a few minutes ago, really. And that's why if you read through the New Testament, you'll find over 100 commands with the phrase one another at the center of them. Church is not a place where I relate to God. It's a community where we relate to one another and together we relate to God. Biblical Christianity has community at its very heart. So this series is about what does it look like for us as a group of ordinary Christians to do life together, to be community together. And each week we're going to take one of those one another commands and we're going to look at other bits of the Bible which shed more light on them and help us to understand what they mean. And we're going to explore what it means to be community. And I guess you might be thinking, Paul, we're in tier four, we're in lockdown until who knows when. A lot of us haven't even seen each other for almost a year now. Is this really the time to be focusing on community? But as your pastor, I would have to say, yes, now is exactly the time that we need to refocus on community within our church family. There has never been a time when it was more important for us to be church. And so that's our new series. And we're starting off this week in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7 says this, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, community isn't a new idea for any of us. Probably most of us belong to a number of different communities, and if you look across the whole of your life, a whole load more communities that you will have been a part of at some time. Apart from our families, for most of us, our first real taste of community came when we first went to school. When I was 4 years old, I started at Marlborough Hill First and Middle School. It sounds really posh, doesn't it? Marlborough Hill. It really wasn't posh at all. But I had a new school uniform and I belonged to Marlborough Hill First and Middle School. And within Marlborough Hill, I belonged to Miss West's class. And so I was part of a community within a community. And it gave me a sense of who I was. And you almost certainly had something very similar when you started school. Now, up the road from Marlborough Hill First and Middle School was another First and Middle School called Norbury. And I didn't know much about Norbury First and Middle School, but I knew this. They were the enemy. I mean, it even sounded nasty, didn't it? Norbury. Can anything good come from a school called Norbury? And the crazy thing was, I only knew three people from Norbury School, and they were all my friends. In fact, I liked them rather better than I liked a lot of the people that I met at Marlborough Hill. But when I was with my school friends, when we were in school, we considered Norbury the enemy in the way that school kids do. And so My first experience of community was that we defined who we were in terms of who we rejected. So when we got a day off from school because our heating broke down, our first thought was, let's go and stand outside the gates of Norbury and laugh at them because their school's got heating. Really mature stuff that obviously we all grow out of. Unless, of course, you happen to like football. Unless, perhaps, you're a Saints fan. And someone asks you what you think of Pompey fans. And in a mature, balanced moment, some Saints fans would probably admit that the average Pompey fan is a human being. Actually, some Saints fans might stop there. Others would say that they're probably not that far different from themselves. Just football fans who grew up in a different city and prefer different colours and like a different team in a mature, balanced moment. But when you're at St Mary's and both teams are on the pitch, you are the Saints' army and they are the enemy. Your sense of community is as much about who is outside as who is inside. Now, all of that isn't some strange phenomenon that's unique to primary schools and football fans. In fact, if you asked a psychologist, and I'm not a psychologist, but if you asked a psychologist, they would tell you that it's human nature. They would talk about us and them behaviour. And they would tell you that we are all hardwired to cement our identity in our own communities by demonising and disparaging anyone outside of that community. We're hardwired to create an in-crowd and an out-crowd, and then to mistreat the out-crowd. Which is why something as fundamentally enjoyable and, dare I say, trivial as football has sometimes descended into gang warfare. It's why being proud of the country in which you were born or brought up, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, but it's why it's so often warped into the evils of racism and xenophobia. It's why being unashamed of the gospel, which is a good thing, led people in history to strap on a big red cross and crusade across the known world, killing Muslims in the name of Jesus, because let's not pretend that we Christians have clean hands in all of this. It's why anyone who looks different, speaks different, thinks different, or acts different runs the gauntlet of ridicule, abuse, and rejection. It's just human nature. But the Bible tells us that as followers of Jesus, we are part of an alternative kingdom and that we have a new nature. In 2 Corinthians, it says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we no longer see other people from a worldly point of view. We see people from the point of view of you and I being broken, fallen, messed up people who God has reconciled to himself through Christ. But he didn't stop there. He gave us a ministry of reconciliation, letting the world know that the floodgates of God's favour are wide open, inviting others to enjoy the undeserved thing that we've found. And so he calls us to build a community which isn't shaped by that divisive side of human nature, a community which is founded on inclusion rather than the need to reject some in order to feel included ourselves. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Just as Christ accepted you. And we need to pause and we need to chew on that for a moment. We have a spiritual sickness in the West in the 21st century, and it's this. We are not prepared to admit how broken we are. As a society, we are so defensive, so quick to leap to a place of taking offense, so unwilling to admit that we might ever be in the wrong on anything, that nobody had better dare suggest that there might be anything wrong with me or with my life in any way. And how dare you talk about Christ accepting me? Are you saying that Jesus settled? He was lucky to get me. Really? I am broken. My heart is wrong. My desires are wrong. My attitudes are wrong. My thought processes are wrong. And other than the grace of God, my life would be an utter mess. And until we know how broken we are, we can't see how amazing the grace of God is in reconciling us to Himself. And if we don't appreciate the reconciliation that we've received, we can't fully embrace the ministry of reconciliation that He's given us towards others. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And if Jesus accepted me, you'd better believe there is nobody out there that His grace can't reach. So that when we roll out the welcome mat, our acceptance is without exception. There is no out crowd. Church is the people of God offering others the same acceptance that they have received from God. If our model of community is to be found in the community of people that Jesus drew around Himself while He was on earth, then it will be massively diverse, socially and spiritually. He constantly invited people to journey with Him. And some went the distance and some wandered away. Some listened for a while and then said, "This is too hard," and they left Him. Some recognized Him for who He was early on, and others, even some of those very close to Him, were with Him for 3 years before the light dawned. And whoa, hang on, you are the Christ. It was a motley crew. It was a fuzzy-edged community of the convinced and the questioning and the hangers-on, and He accepted and welcomed them all. And He invited them all on a journey with Him. And what that means is that we've got to learn to let go of our need to draw lines in the sand like we have control of who is in and who is out. Too much of the time, we Christians have acted like we've been appointed as bouncers on the doors of God's kingdom. And sometimes we've used the Bible as a weapon to push people away and to make people feel unacceptable and to draw boundaries between who we think is in and who we think is out. And God forgive us that we've done that, but we have. Like Matthew 18, and if you've been hanging around church for any length of time, I really want you to hear this, because for years I misunderstood this passage, and I think there's a fair chance that you might have as well. Matthew 18 talks about what to do when you think that someone in the church is doing something wrong. And let me read that passage to you. It says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they won't listen, take one or two others, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. And it's helpful stuff. If you think someone in the church is doing something wrong, you talk to them privately. Don't gossip about it. Don't tell the world about it. Have a one-to-one conversation with them first. And if that doesn't work, and you're convinced that you're right, take a friend. If that doesn't work, ask the whole church family. And then if that doesn't work, what? If all else fails and they still don't change, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So that's drawing a line in the sand, right? I mean, I've seen this verse used as a justification for telling people whose sins we think are more obvious than our own that they're not welcome in God's family anymore. I've seen it used as a tool of exclusion. I've seen it used as a weapon. And I've seen it become a travesty of the good news of Jesus in the hands of Christians who wanted a community defined by who was kept on the outside. Treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Matthew 9. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So how do you treat a pagan or a tax collector if you are a disciple of Jesus? You love them. You share life with them. You include them. You don't have to agree with them to get along with them. That's exactly what Jesus was renowned for. And what huge damage gets done when people try to teach the words of Jesus without first getting to know the person of Jesus. So what does that mean for church? It means that church is at its most Jesus-like when our communities extend the welcome mat to everyone. And I very deliberately said communities plural, because just like Miss West's class within Marlborough Hill School, a church is a community of communities. And accept one another doesn't just mean into the big church family, it means into my small group, or my youth group, or my special interest group. Anytime we catch ourselves saying, "Oh, I'm not sure whether that person would quite fit in my group," we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves and where our heart and our motives are at. It means that church is at its most Jesus community-like when our boundaries are fuzzy because we're not keeping tabs on who's in and who's out. We're just inviting everyone in to join us on the journey and to get to know the Master better. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. I've told a few stories in the past about churches that haven't been particularly accepting towards me, and I want to tell you about one that was and that left a huge impact on me at the time. When I went to university, I lived in the kind of hall of residence where they provided all our meals, which was pretty cushy, really. And I used to earn myself a bit of extra cash by helping the kitchen staff to serve the food to the tables and then to clear up the tables and clear up the mess afterwards. And there were a few of us students who did that together. And my friend Tim and I became friends with a young woman who worked full-time in the kitchen. And we quite quickly found out that she was a Christian and part of a Pentecostal church a few miles away in Manchester. I'd never been to a Pentecostal church. I didn't really know what they were about. But she said, "Come and visit my church. You just need to know you'll probably be the only white people there, but you should come." And so we did. The next Sunday, Tim and I got up very early to walk because it was quite a long way to get to this church. The first thing we discovered when we got there was that we'd got the time wrong, and we'd actually arrived half an hour before anyone apart from the pastor, which was a little bit awkward, but it did mean that we got free choice of where we wanted to sit within the church. The second thing we discovered was that this was a church that dressed up for Sunday. Every man and boy in a suit and tie, every woman and girl in a dress and a hat. Me in my ripped jeans and scruffy t-shirt, and my mate Tim had a Mohican haircut, so he really stood out. And our friend was right, we were the only white people in church that day. After we'd sat on our own for about 20 minutes and feeling more than a little uncomfortable and a bit out of place, the rest of the congregation began to show up. Every single person who came in saw us there, and before they found a seat, they walked over and shook our hands and said, "Welcome." Every single person. Humanly speaking, everything about me didn't fit. I was a scruffy white southern boy in a smart black northern church, struggling to sing songs I'd never heard before, and with no idea how they did things in that church. I didn't know how to join in, when to stand up, when to sit down, or how to do anything else. And yet, I have never felt so welcomed in my life. And that's how church ought to be for everybody who comes into contact with us. That's the hope that underpins the line in our vision statement that says, "Come as you are." And may that be the kind of community that we forge here at TBC within our church family. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. And Father, would you forgive us where we have that inner inclination to exclude and reject people to make ourselves feel better? Our intention, in fact, our declaration is that this is and is going to be a church family where everyone is welcome, where everybody is accepted and made to feel welcome. Make us people, forge us into people who accept one another and accept everybody who comes through the doors of the church, everybody who comes into contact with our church family. Forge us into people who accept just as we have been accepted by Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.